Welcome to week five of the official Geelong Cats podcast to the final bell. I'm joined as I always am by Scotty Gallen and Zach Toohey. Boys, welcome to you.
Hello, Cameron.
And Cam.
The game on the weekend, we're going to get to that in a second. Described by the coach, Chris Scott, as horrible, but it was a win. And three wins on the weekend, AFL, VFL and VFLW. So I call that a very good weekend, not horrible at all. We're going to be chatting to Brownlow medalist, superstar and fishing expert Patrick Dangerfield. And we're going to talk about perhaps getting to the bottom of a prank that's gone on during the week. We'll talk to Paddy all about that in a second. We're going to talk Asava, unfortunately. Our guest from last week, a shattering injury to him. We'll chat Dan Menzel. Joel Selwood will captain his 150th game this week, which is a fantastic achievement. Already holds the record for the most games captained in Geelong's history. But let's get one thing right off the top. The pain that poor Zach Toohey has been through during the week. His beloved Liverpool went down 3-1 in the Champions League. And no doubt the poster you had of the Liverpool goalkeeper that you had on the wall has been torn down.
It was just... The mistake was so bad, I'm not even angry. I actually just feel sorry for him. That's how bad it was.
Rolling the ball into the leg.
It was like if his only mistake was that second goal, I'd have been furious. Yeah. But the first one was just so bad. I just feel sorry for him.
Were you up early watching?
Yeah, I did. Had about an hour of sleep. Went to Hendo's and we watched it.
And
not a good atmosphere in the house. Not a good atmosphere in the house.
And then Gareth Bale, which was an extraordinary goal.
You kind of don't mind losing to that goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that was outrageous. God, it didn't matter, did it?
But what about your Boston Celtics, too? They choked up a storm in the NBA. Zach loves talking basketball, but...
Scary Terry Rozier. Terrible.
So some pretty happy people with me today.
We're a bit down.
It's all right. We'll bring it up because the Cats had a win. Let's ignore the fact that the coach called it horrible. It was a win.
It wasn't the only one.
And we're going to get to the stop-start keep straight away. And as part of that, Scotty, start.
Scoring. Cameron, scoring.
The Cats, the competition.
There's been a drought.
Haven't scored 100 points since the St Kilda game. We scored 103 points. It's been 73, 50, 66, 93, 69, 84, and then the game against St Kilda. You don't care, though, do you? Because you're just a rock-solid dour defender who's just happy to keep them to a low score.
You just see ball, punch balls. Well, it's an interesting one because it's not really the job of the players or even the coaches. Like it's not even our job to make it a spectacle. We're here to win, and people want to see high-scoring games. It's funny how the game can do this. It can just seem to veer wildly to a more defensive game again. And like the game against Carlton, that was really dewy. It's probably the slippiest I've played in since I've been here. But yeah, the comp seems to have gone down in scoring. I'm not sure why.
Was there a sense too on the weekend? It's like got it, burst out of the blocks, four goals, flying. That Carlton then went into an ultra-defensive mode as well because of, and you can't blame them, worried about what had happened the previous week, lost by over 100 points. Perhaps it looked like the game was going to go that way as well. That they then made it really difficult for any scoring to happen, and that almost brought you back to turn the game into what they wanted a little bit.
Well, Carlton, they've obviously not had a great year, but they do set up very well defensively when you give them time. And even when we got four goals up, I didn't think we were playing particularly well. We really made the most of the chances we had going forward, but they were still using the ball a lot better than we were. And then once they got a couple of goals and got their tails up, they just pinged it through us much better than we did them.
So what was breaking down? Was it transition from halfback, you know what I mean? Or the forwards, they were manned up? Or what was going on that was...
They found gaps in our zone between the arc.
Yeah.
Which, on this ground especially, it's harder to find them on this ground, but if you do find them, it's a short way home. And we kind of addressed it at halftime, and it would have been nice to be able to fix it there on the spot. But I think I said before, it's so hard to stop momentum this year. But after time, we kind of rectified it a bit, but not a great performance.
Well, we're going to get to, in a second, in the stop, a man who perhaps, started the season off unbelievably well, who could help with the scoring, Daniel Menzel. But I'm going to jump to keep for now. And keep, we came up here with this as a team. But it's one we probably need to direct to you now, Zach, again. So keep going until the bye. The run from here is obviously the Suns this week, their first game at Metricon Saturday afternoon. A couple of huge challenges against North Melbourne and Richmond playing great football. Then the bye. The Cats are in the last rotation of buys. Does that make any difference? Does it make it harder getting through to the bye but give you an advantage come finals because your bye was later, or is it completely irrelevant when the bye falls?
I kind of think it's a bit irrelevant, to be perfectly honest. I don't think I'd like it. Gold Coast had it last week, did they? Gold Coast and Port, because they had the China game. That seems a bit early for me, but to be honest, I don't really mind, and I think we have a tendency to overthink it a small bit. Yeah, if 6 weeks down the line you're looking back and thinking, if only our break was 7 weeks ago, we'd have been better off. I'm not sure it makes a difference.
Is the grind June or July? Like, because you get a patch where it's just things get hard. Not hard, but...
Yeah, but every team kind of has that, I reckon, block of 4 or 5 weeks where if you can just chalk up the wins, like a bit like the weekend, it kind of doesn't matter how you get them at this time of year. You don't need to be going flat out yet. You don't need to be playing your best footy just yet. So if we can get to sort of the back end of the year, the back quarter of the year, and be in a really good position, I reckon we're happy, and I'm sure our fans will be too.
All right, let's get to the stop then. Stop. All this confusing talk about Daniel Menzel. So last night and during the day, I heard that he's out for the year. He's done. He's finished. Q's in the rack. Then I heard the coach, who I'm assuming would know a fair bit about the way Daniel Menzel's going, Chris Scott, say that he was running this week. He's on track, and unfortunately, the injection had a bad reaction, so it has been a frustrating time, but talking a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks until he's back. Can you put this to bed for us? I'm assuming Scotty's telling us straight up, I know clubs can play games occasionally, but
really?
He's not done for the year.
No, well, I saw this in the paper today and couldn't believe it. And Menz was just getting around the club doing his rehab as he had been doing. There's been no major setbacks that I'm aware of. So as far as I know, he's kind of still on track.
And he ran Monday.
Yeah, he got out and had a jog. So I'm kind of not sure how that would get started.
Scotty, you're journalists?
No, well, we just follow up leads, Cameron. And there was suggesting he might need surgery to correct the bad injections, but. It's obvious.
So, can I ask then? So that whisper gets out there, and you hear it, and you decide to follow it up. When the club says categorically, no, that's not true. He's fine. He's on track.
We don't tend to believe clubs too much.
So that's the issue where the whatever clubs have said in the past and hasn't quite panned out that way, you then become a bit skeptical, a bit of a cynic.
But one like this, you know, the medical fraternity talking about, they say, oh, he might be getting more. And then, you know, the other side of it is, well, actually, he ran yesterday. So it's...
How certain would you have to be if somebody from outside club says, oh, I'm pretty sure this is serious, before you would run with a story?
Personally? Oh, you got to check it out. Oh, you need to know someone in the club who you trust. So if I rang someone in here off the record and go, I'm going to write it, and they say, no, don't, you look silly, you don't write it. Mm. If they go, oh, I can't really, you're sort of on the right track, well, you can go with, do you know what I mean? For me, you've got to at least have someone in the club giving you, not a heads up, they're not telling you the whole story, but if I ring you and go, Zach, mate, tell me about Menz, you go, oh, I can't, but I saw him running yesterday. Boom.
Yeah.
Would every journalist have at least one or two people at every club?
Not every club. There's... In our office in the Herald Sun, that you know the guys, excuse me, who have got ins at certain places. So you sort of gravitate towards the clubs you know,
and across the team of journos, would you throw something around and say you'd heard about another journalist had heard about Daniel Menzel, but knows that you have a some good relationships with people down at Geelong, given you live here, given you've worked with different people across the course of your life. Would they come to you and say, Scotty, can you follow this up for us?
You share information if it helps. And sometimes you have a dual byline. So, but yeah, a lot of times that does happen.
The good news is, though, it sounds like he's running, he's on track, and 2 or 3 weeks perhaps we might be seeing Daniel Menzel without putting in a locked-in time frame on it. He's at least not done till the end of the year.
He's not done till the end of the year.
Great news. We're going to have to take a break. We're going to talk VFL with Angus Kramer soon, talk VFLW, answer all your questions. As I said, Paddy Dangerfield coming up a little bit later on as our guest. Just before we do go to the break, played against your old team. Mm-hmm. Mark Murphy wasn't out there. He's a good mate of yours, given you played so many years together.
Or do you hate him?
I probably should have checked that before we started this.
He hates
Can
him.
I just get a quick... Do you think he should stay or go from Carlton?
I think he's one you couldn't begrudge him if he did leave, but I don't have no idea what he plans on doing. But he's given enough time and enough of his career for not enough in return to justify leaving.
I think the sentiment's right. I think people are thinking he should go.
He should go. See, I believe he should have the choice, given the time he's put in, everything like that. I'd love to see him stay.
Why? What does he get out of it for 2 years? Nothing. They're going to run
the legacy that 13th, he can pass 12th, on. 11th. No, you're right, and that's why I would never.
But his legacy's already set in a way. I mean, you were fortunate in that you played finals early, and you sort of got a sniff that you had a good team, and then you won all the. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a group of us who still look back so fondly on, say, Peter Riccardi, who missed out on 07 by a year, but loved everything that he did for us in those harder years, and he was the gun player.
Things have changed a bit.
I know, and that's why I'm not saying I'd begrudge Murph leaving, but I'd love to see him stay and then either pinch a flag like Shane Crawford did. In 2005, Hawthorn weren't certain he's to win a premiership in Shane Crawford's time, and he got there in 2008, so it could happen. Cool. But just even if they win one a year or two after, they look back and they say, well, Murph, thank you very much. No. Sorry to spring that one on you, question without notice there, but we will take a break. VFLW up next.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
We're back on To The Final Bell, the Cats podcast, and we're joined by Angus Cramer, as we always are.
Can't wait for this. Yes, that'll be a good one.
The VFL wrap. Angus, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here again.
The boys had a win.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been able to talk about a win on the podcast. It was a nice 6-goal victory over a pretty impressive VFL unit in Williamstown. Like the AFL, we played a very quality defensive game, keeping them to 5 goals, and it kept us inside the top 8, which is nice. And I presume now I'll take questions on Mark O'Connor.
Before we go there,
go on.
He's been emailing us every day.
Best on.
Best on ground, though.
Is that right, or do they do this just to stir Zach up?
No, he was best on ground. Him and Tim House were the top two in the best, and I think
don't mention House. Keep going.
They were holding the defensive unit together. But Mark, 16 touches, 8 marks, 4 rebound 50s, and best on ground performance. That
is
sort of
a half back
position. He's really he can play tall and small.
He wants yours?
You know what I'm hearing.
How's he got?
Tui out, O'Connor in.
Well, there's an opportunity for that. If Zach doesn't lift his game, there's people knocking on the door.
Oh, this is gold. Whack.
And my man Ryan Abbott was in there again. Number 45.
Abbott was in the best again. I'm waiting for those two to have quiet weeks so we can talk about some of the other players, but Abbott was very good again.
Well, can I ask you about one that people were, well, they'll know him because I think he's one of best and fairest in the VFL, but Tommy Atkins. I keep seeing his name appear in the best players on the sub list. Do you think he'll ever get an opportunity on a rookie list or an AFL list?
To be honest, I'm surprised he hasn't already. He's inspirational to all the other VFL listed players out there, the way he performs every week. We've got, as a VFL listed contingent in the midfield, 4 blokes very similar to him. Tom Atkins, Jordan Kerris, James Cheetahs and Luke Keel, who were all just contested balls, and they were huge in the win over Williamstown on the weekend. But on Atkins, he was a best and fairest winner a few years ago. He's had a couple of injury-plagued years, but he's just insane in the way he tackles and attacks the ball. I mean, last year he had a game where he had 26 touches and 26 tackles, and those numbers are just unheard of. So he's definitely
26 in a season.
I'm going at less than one a game, I reckon. Jeepers.
Now, Link McCarthy, a lot of people are excited. What are we, 3 matches in now? Where's he at?
3 matches in, and keeps improving every week. Kicked another goal on the weekend and had 19 touches and led the game for inside 50s for players on the ground. But it's not just that. His work off the ball defensively is pretty good, and he tackles with a lot of intensity.
All right, I'll put in the selection meeting. Abbott and McCarthy, what do you think?
I think they'd have to be considered. I definitely think with injuries at AFL level that have happened, Abbott would need to be considered for that ruck role. Him and Buzz both played pretty well, so someone might come in that ruck forward position. The way Abbott gets the ball around the ground, not just in the ruck, he'd be a handy inclusion for sure.
Number 45 is going to be back out there, Scotty. And as we've established already, O'Connor in, Tui out. So I'm glad you've made a couple of those selections. Yeah,
a few big changes going down, I think.
Who's next week?
We play the Northern Blues at Icon Park next week. So it's the games will have a bit of crossover. We're 2 o'clock on the Saturday.
Beautiful. Thank you, as always, Angus. See you next week.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys.
So the VFL's had a win on the weekend, and so have the VFLW, and we're joined by the head of women's footy, Simone Belez. Good to see you, Sim.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
A good win against Carlton, a close game, and a really strong Carlton team, so it's a terrific win. Top of the ladder for the girls.
Top of the ladder. It's a nice place to be, isn't it? It was a big day out on the weekend, and the girls showed great composure, we thought. I've since spoken to Hoodie, of course, after the game, and he spoke about, particularly in that last quarter with the crowd building for the AFL game, that they were under a bit of pressure and they showed great composure to get up with the win.
And Scotty, you know, the scores were level. It was tight in the last quarter. Our girl,
podcast zone,
Kate Darby, is the one who brought it home, Sim.
Lit it up to last quarter goals.
Yeah, Darbs was sensational. I think Darbs will really love a big state when she gets to AFLW in particular. But she was playing against Carlton, and of course she's got a bit of history with Carlton, as she spoke about on your podcast. So she was particularly pleased with the win, and we love Darbs for all her emotion, and she certainly gave us a great last quarter.
So is it getting to that, obviously we're the team, or Geelong are the team to beat, but is it that stage of the year where we can start to see who looks like they're going to be the real contenders? Who's looking like the strong teams?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's that easy at the moment yet, Zach, because the teams are just so different every week. So we come up against Melbourne Uni this weekend, and we've already played them. They'll be a completely different side. They'll just look so different to who we saw round one. So look, it's hard to pick. NT Thunder. That'll be strange, won't it, if they end up in the grand final for the VFLW, the Victorian Football League women's
competition.
Because
they've got a lot of Adelaide Crows in it, haven't they?
Yeah. So they're going really, they're flying as well.
And the game on the weekend against the Blues, you mentioned that. You sent Lauren Arnell packing, did you? Just sent her off on a bad note for the Blues. She's gone to the Lions.
Lauren is a big loss to Victoria. She's a wonderful person for women's football, and she's done some amazing things in the coaching pathways. So good on Brisbane, great get for them in the AFLW. But I think we'll probably see her playing a few more games down here in Victoria before she heads up there.
And Sim, it's trade week. We're in the middle of it, aren't we?
You wouldn't know it, would you?
No.
It's a very quiet trade week.
So what's happening? Are the phone ringing off the hook, or have you got anything goss for us?
I've got no goss for you. Sorry, Scotty. I heard someone comment it's a very long trade period for a very short season competition. No, look, I think most deals are done by this stage. You never know, but I would say most deals are done.
Are our early draft, our first two draft picks on the table, or they're locked away?
You never know what you would do for the right player.
There's something coming here.
I think you need to get Benny Waller up here for your next chat. But no, look, you never say never, Lingy, but there's some terrific girls coming through for the draft, and I'd say we're pretty happy with our pick one and two at this stage.
Something's cooking, Scotty.
Something's cooking.
You guys are always into conspiracy.
It gets us through.
Who's so next week, Melbourne Uni.
At Melbourne Uni. So, not good parking up there, but if anyone wants to come, maybe catch the train or park at the zoo or something like that, come up and see us play.
What day?
Is that on the main oval?
It's on the Saturday. Sunday, sorry, at 2:30.
Sunday, 2:30.
Yeah, on the main
oval.
Play
on there.
At Melbourne Uni.
Uni Blacks.
Did you actually play footy, Scott?
Play what? Yeah. Do you want me to bring all the trophies in next week? And Stephen Wells to give his critique of my
Simone
career.
Will never come back.
Good luck. It's a great over.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Sim.
Thanks.
Well, it was a good weekend. VFLW, VFL and AFL all having terrific wins. And it's time to get to your questions. Thank you for sending them in. As always, please jump on any of the social media outlets that the Geelong Cats have and fire in the questions and any feedback you have for us, particularly in Scotty's direction. We like...
I've been quite good. lately?
Well, you haven't threatened anyone or
wildlife,
canvassed for the killing of any animals lately.
Zach filled me with a bit of confidence just before we started this to show me one that said, is it how painful is Cameron Ling to listen to?
Along those lines.
Yeah, along those lines.
Sorry, no, a glass of red. I wasn't...
I wondered, Z2, are you that was from? Xavier, oh, he's got one for me. Beauty, thanks, Xavier. Lingy, were you ever put one out in the square, Dangerfield style? Well, but going back to the old under 18 days, Scotty in the Geelong Falcons, I certainly
you were 125 kilo full forward. And you that's what you got drafted for, Cameron.
That is, that's such a myth, that.
What did you weigh when you were 17?
Occasionally, when I was able to get forward, I did want to push all the other forwards out of the 50 and get a little bit of one-out style, but it didn't last long. The runner had come out and say,
"What are you doing?
Nothing." Get yourself back up into the midfield. So unfortunately, Xavier, I couldn't run the show quite like Paddy runs the show, but thank you for the question. Harry asks, is it time to put some games into Abbott and see what he has at AFL level in the ruck? We just touched on him briefly, but you reckon he's
a huge
chance.
Well, he has to be getting close. You can't keep being in the best and not get rewards. So, I mean, I don't know, but I suspect he's getting pretty close.
Let's hope so. Christopher asks, this to you, Zach. Is it true you promised a young boy you would dab if you kicked a goal on Saturday night?
It sounds exactly like me. did I say that? I did dab.
You did dab?
Explain the dab.
Yeah.
Well, the Carlton cheer squad were getting into me.
As I do.
Ipso facto, I turned and dabbed them.
And they took it well?
They took it very well.
Twitter, any response?
They did. They got on Twitter and told me how much they liked it. And genuinely saw the funny side of it in case people think we're just abusing each other over the fence.
They liked it.
They did.
Ah, good.
They did.
Excellent. Now, next question. I want to get your thoughts on this very much, Zach, because it was what was a good win and a good weekend for the club. This was the one real down point of the weekend. Nick asked, does the injury to Asava open the door for Wiley Buzzer to come in and play a similar role? Let's get to the Wiley Buzzer part in a second.
Yeah.
How's Sav going? It was devastating. Mm. Completely flattened everybody at the ground seeing him go down like that.
Yeah, it was just that sick feeling. And he just felt like Sav was ready to just rip a game apart. Mm. That one of these games, he was just going to jump at everything and it was all going to stick and that was going to be the end of it. But when I saw, because I didn't see him go down initially until there was a halt in play. And the first thing I noticed when I looked across was the green whistle. And that's a pretty average sign. Just sickening, to be honest. It's really uncomfortable just having to see him get. So, and even the Carlton boys were pretty kind of flattened by it.
What have you heard? Surgery's had.
He's had surgery.
Broken
ankle.
Fibula and tibula. So yeah. It was a pretty good result from what we initially thought.
So it could have been, I mean, that kind of incident can lead to the touchwood, the horror snap.
Yeah. The Nathan Brown.
Yeah. So I guess it could have been a lot worse and we should be sort of thankful for that. I don't think his season's written off by any stretch, but it is going to be, I mean, most of it.
Straight away, my thought, and it was, I was here with my family, I brought little Maxie along. Straight away, I was as flat because I thought, are we gonna be able to see the best of him now? You know, has he broken it that badly? Again, mentioned Nathan Brown or Jason Snell. Yeah. Jason Snell didn't come back from it, but his athleticism might be gone. What's going to happen? The recovery from these sorts of injuries now, they're just so much better at it, aren't they? They won't take any risks. So the likelihood is he will still have that incredible athleticism.
Yeah, and it's not like a clean snap. So I think it's only kind of partially cracked, I suppose, and you can play it up. And obviously it's going to be a long recovery and we'll, I assume, be very careful with his recovery and make sure he gets back 100%. But yeah, I can't see it really long term change in his kind of career trajectory.
My first thoughts were the podcast. I thought, well,
you reckon we cursed him?
We've got one already.
Don't say that.
We just had Paddy.
We're just about to chat with Patrick.
Cotton wool for Patrick this weekend. I'm very worried.
If he gets hurt, you look out, Scotty. Don't bother turning up next week. Well, out of heartbreak comes opportunity.
Of course.
Wiley Buzzer, the question was asked there, is he the one who's potentially going to get an opportunity or is someone else going to come from left field?
Yeah, again, you'd have to assume he'd he'd be pretty close. He's that type of, you know, lead-up marking player, slightly different than Sav, although I guess everyone's a bit different to Sav. But yeah, we haven't, even as a leadership group, we haven't kind of sat down and had a talk about personnel yet. But yeah, you'd have to think he'd be in the running.
Well, let's hope. And from the podcast, despite Scotty saying we might have jinxed it, we wish Sav all the very best. So please pass that on to him us, Zach. Hopefully he's back flying around the field, exciting the fans before we know it. We've got to take a break. You mentioned Paddy. He's just about to walk through the door. Our producer Rowan's been chasing him up, making sure he's on time. We don't want him being late or anything like that. He's
I sense tension.
Zach, I'm not sure he wanted him in here.
Yeah, that's the male.
I'm not sure his ego would fit in here.
We might ask him about that in a second. We'll be back soon.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back. Well, he's walked in. Patrick Dangerfield is in the house. Welcome, Paddy.
Thanks, Lingy.
Great to have you here. Let's just get straight to the major issue at hand right now. There are whispers flying everywhere. I even saw it
disappointing
in the Herald Sun today.
That, oh, boy.
Lachie Fogarty's car wrapped in Glad wrap. A true old-fashioned prank, but...
Yes.
So you. Look at you.
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me. And I actually have proof of it because Lachie came in the next morning and said, prove to me that you weren't at the Harwoods. And I actually had photos of George. We were playing around. Don't know why he's up at 9 o'clock at night. Anyway, he was.
Holland Smith? Or?
Yeah. Poor parenting on my behalf of us playing. So I said, mate, look, there's no way that I could have driven in.
Digitally,
and I wouldn't bother with someone like you anyway.
Oh, that's cool. So Zach's denied. Do you believe him?
Yeah, I do.
You're aware of the...
He knows.
Maybe.
Don't let him off the hook. Wasn't it your father-in-law who took the footage of it being wrapped?
Yeah.
Therefore, why wouldn't it be you?
No, I actually made a phone call whilst it was being done from someone. It wasn't me.
Setting up your alibi.
Just to make sure that he captured the moment. He said, well, I'm going to have to start work a couple of hours late. He was fine with that.
he's only mayor of the town.
The city can wait in a couple of hours just to capture the footage. So, yeah, the person's still at large.
Are you going to spill the beans?
No, not at all. No.
Scotty, do you know?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I was so sure it's you. No. He's organised it, though, or something. You're in on it. You're...
Yeah, you're clearly behind it. A conspiracy.
No, I know who. I have an inkling. But there's no way I could be bothered to drive in 50 minutes to Geelong to do it.
So you were the extra rapper on the grassy knoll. You were part of the conspiracy.
Yeah, absolutely. I deleted the files afterwards.
Which brings us to pranks. Zach, you got one? A funny one? Best you've seen?
All basic ones, filling lockers full of things. But Jeremy Laidler used to have a little, the little mopeds, and he used to come to the club on it, and it was brought into the club and sat on the table in our locker area and wrapped so thick in Glad wrap that it looked like a ball in the end. You couldn't even see what vehicle it was. But those are just the easy classic ones. Good, clean fun.
Cameron, what did your rag...
There were a lot of car movements and cars that disappear and all that. But I don't know which way it went. It was either Jimmy's locker or Jimmy did it to somebody. The old lockers just had the little pigeonhole type slot bit that you put your keys and your wallet in. The expander foam, you know, the builder's expander foam that sets rock hard.
Yes, concrete. Concrete.
So whoever's locker it was had to get the hammer and the chisel out and chisel it out again. That's just nasty.
Jimmy would have taken it well if it was him.
Paddy, let's get to some serious footy here. I want you to critique. I believe Marty, your lovely wife, has started playing footy at the Amos, Geelong Amateurs. Yep. Can you critique her as a player and where you think she might be ranked in drafting at the moment for AFLW?
Look, she's tenacious. She tackles quite hard, runs well defensively, so Oh, it's in the family ranch.
Where she's got that from.
But she does struggle to kick on the run, which can, you know,
also runs can be challenging.
Can be challenging. But I must admit, she's actually not too bad. She's very, very aggressive on the field.
Verbally and physically? Or
yeah, both.
Chance for AFLW?
You never know. I said she needs to put her, you know, put her head down, bum up, and train a bit more over the next sort of 12 months. But I don't know if I can cope with the amount of, you know, shit that she sort of puts on afterwards. Like, I've been doing it for 10 years, darling. Like, it's not that hard. And I don't complain that much. And she, seriously, it's like she's broken both legs after every game.
What sort of watcher are you, Patrick?
I'm a pretty calm watcher. Although, I'd like, you know, if she's going to play, you've got to put your body on the line and make sure that someone's there to hit you, you know, you hit him. unlike Zach. Like, it's interesting.
Necessary.
Obviously playing really well defensively at the moment at our back six, and, like, they're having verbal sort of, there's almost verbal abuse going on at the moment of who can be the spare. And
we're fighting for those, I'll be honest. Stewie's got it at the minute.
We did go through the right at the start about the scoring hasn't been huge for the Cats over the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Premiership's won on defence.
That's right. But Zach's very happy with the way it's going defensively. Are you a forward / midfielder, or are you a midfielder / forward these days?
It's been a bit of both, probably with the injuries that we've had. As you said, we've been pretty sound defensively, albeit, even though we have had some key injuries in that area. But we haven't performed as well as we'd like as a midfield group, and we're continuing to focus on that and work on it, and it hasn't come all to a fruition in one game yet, but I think the hard work will pay off eventually for us. And the area that's sort of been ravaged is the forward line. There's players that have been in and out a fair bit. So, you know, it puts a lot of stress and strain on the big fella, big Hawkey up there, because there's so many new players coming through there. So hopefully once we settle those injuries down, it'll be a bit easier. There'll be a bit more continuity in that forward group.
Patrick, what about this Bermuda Triangle that's the centre square, which, you know, you lose your 6 zip down centre clearances and people's... how does it happen like that? And people are raising it all the time. Is it just luck? And
we planned for it. We kicked the first 4 goals of the game.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want?
Rebound.
Well, it's an interesting one. I mean, the first 6 clearances, none of them got past the... got into our D50, so we were really well set up defensively. We probably didn't use that number behind the ball as well as we would have liked and get as much drive. Well, it's not necessarily Zach. At times it's Mitch that goes back there, and you know, that's an area that we can improve on. It's sort of been the second phase around stoppages that I think, because teams know that we've got some strong bodies in there, they're doing anything they can to clear the area. So they're kicking off the ground a lot, which wasn't sort of happening last year. So we've got to continue to adjust and get better at that. And, you know, that's rucks and that's mids and that's our second efforts around the ball.
Just to go back to when you do go forward, if all things being equal and we had a full strength team, how would you like to split your time between forward and mid?
Whenever the ball's going in the forward line, I'd like to be there.
Kick it to yourself if possible.
Whenever it's not, up in the midfield.
Would it be as much as 20% you'd like to spend forward?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, about that. 20% would be good, sort of an 80. But mind you, I think personally I'm playing my best footy when I'm spending time on the bench as well. So I've got you know, the energy playing with power and explosion rather than just you know, playing long stints on the ground. That's sort of not really my game.
Can I ask you, you're here as a Geelong player, but can I ask you to put your president's hat on as the AFL?
I can, but it'll always have Geelong bias, as I've been told the last few weeks.
Did you cop it from Carlton fans over that?
Still copying it, yeah. They're very, very active on Twitter at the moment.
It's always good. Player movement, you've been part of player movement coming from the Adelaide Crows. Currently...
yeah, it was your fault. You were talking to me all those years ago.
I don't know what you're talking about, Patrick.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Currently free agency, 6 years restricted, 8 years unrestricted. Is that the right balance, do you think? Or would you like to bring it back to just 6 years unrestricted, 4 years restricted? What's your feel for free agency?
I'm all for, in my position, I'm all for you know, allowing players to move more freely. Now, that I dare say the club will have a different view to that, but my personal view is the less the better. I don't think it's not 2 years, but I think it's yeah, it's somewhere in that sort of 6 year range that I think would be about right. The challenge is when players have been at a club for, you know, 3-4 years of first round draft pick, and you look immediately at the interstate clubs like Brisbane that have really been fostering these young players, and then they leave and they go on to have really good careers. You'd like them just to invest a bit more time in those clubs, give them a bit of an opportunity, because they do invest a huge amount of money in their players. It's not only what we as clubs pay the players, it's the investment in coaches, support staff. Like a 2 year contract, I think the minimum's around 70-80 grand. It's probably $500,000 investment minimum per player per year, so it's a lot we're talking about. So I think it needs to sort of it shouldn't be too low
for those sorts of situations. Should that say first round draft pick, should it be a 4 year contract straight up, so that at least that player can't go to a place, go to Brisbane, they're from Melbourne, go to Brisbane, after 2 years say, I want out, lock them in a bit longer?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. At the same time, it does sometimes lock players in that, I mean, generally clubs will back in their selections in the first round. I wouldn't dare say it would push right out through the draft, because there's some players that you pick, you're hoping that they're going to be good enough, but it just doesn't turn out that way. But at the same time, you know, I don't want our players to be locked in if you're really not enjoying an environment that you can't. But most clubs, if you don't want to beat a club, the club doesn't generally want to have you there either.
Now, we love exclusives on the podcast. Ooh, okay. Rory Sloane, your best friend.
He's coming to Geelong.
Done. Time code that. That's perfect.
To go surfing on the surf coast.
What do you think? I mean, there's going to be a few, like you said, it's going to be more and more happening with guys like him each year, isn't it, from now on?
Yeah, it is. And I think there's always going to be interest in someone like Roars, because he's one of the best players in the competition. He's one of the all-time great people as well. So he's just such a likable person. Would I love to have him at Geelong? Absolutely. But I think you're going to get the same answer from 17 other clubs that would all love a Rory Sloane in their side. So, look, he's got a decision to make. It's an interesting one, because obviously Belinda is pregnant as well, so their life is going to change significantly. But I don't think he'll make a decision until he's back playing good footy and back playing footy. So that's going to take some time, obviously, with the injury he's had. And he's never really made a call before the mid-season break anyway, regardless of with all his contracts, rather. So, yeah, he's sort of just been consistent with what he's always done.
Now, we love a committee. We're just me and Zach are dirty. We're not on.
Competition committee.
There's about three of them. Can you take us through the first meeting and what you think's going to happen out of this wonderful committee?
It was very much just preliminary discussions, and it was none of the minute. It was holistic view of the game and where we see it, and how do you make it more appealing to people. The biggest challenge the AFL sees is just engaging young people. For the first time in Australia's history, I think it is, we're under the average of minutes played for our young people every day, so the sport that they play. So we're under the world average. So we see ourselves as a sporting nation, but we sit below the average participation in sport for young people. So it's hard to argue and say we're a sporting nation when we're actually not doing that. And AFL being the number one sport in the land, we have a role to make our game appealing. And there's no doubt at different stages it's not. And that's sort of been, you know, half the reason AFLX was introduced.
What would you do, Zach, to improve this great game?
What would I do? Bigger contracts for the international players.
There it is.
Lure them across.
Well, the challenge is that I think the stats that we went through was there's a goal scored every 10 minutes. It's a long time if you're a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, to really keep engaged. AFLX, there's constant scoring. Now, the knock on AFLX was it's no one celebrating the goals, but at least they're scoring. And
they're all just having shots from 50.
Yeah, so just trying to make it as appealing for everyone as we possibly can. That's the goal.
Was the starting point that people were in your room, in the committee, that, oh, things are bad, we've got to do... Is that the...
It's not things were bad. It wasn't the Marbo. It's just how we can improve the game, how we can continue to make games really tight, there to be little blowouts and have a really even competition, that everyone in Australia is choosing AFL footy as the number one game to support. So that's the challenge ahead of us. And whilst we're in a really good position with that, I think the strength of the AFL is that they're never sitting on their hands. And with the addition of Steve Hocking, he's not going to be one to do that, that's for sure.
We've got to let Paddy go, unfortunately. We could talk to you for hours, Paddy. If there's any chance at all in your very busy schedule amongst fishing podcasts and being the pres and playing and everything like that, we'd love to get you back on again later on in the year to perhaps talk more about the state of the game here, about the competition committee, things like that. Are we a chance of pinching you again at some point?
Well, if Reg is not going to be here, then I'm more than happy to come up. But
I was not happy you got the invite. I'm just putting that out there.
Mike just stuck the flag in the ground and said, don't let Dangerfield in here. This is my podcast.
I really like Zach, actually, when he first came to the footy club. I'm like, this is a really nice guy. He's funny. But every opportunity he gets to knock me, like, it's starting to wear thin. And, you know,
easy target. if I'm ever on an interview and it goes silent, my mind just goes to just pop, Paddy. People love it.
I was going to say, this goes down so well.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us though, Paddy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Scotty, I reckon Zach and Paddy got along better than I expected. I thought there was going to be genuine tension.
I don't know. Well, off air, there was a few... I don't know. I'm a bit unsure how the camaraderie is.
Zach
tried
to puff his chest out a little bit, but nobody can ever beat Dangerfield's peacock.
When you were you pushing to have him back, I was looking at my man here and I didn't feel
steaming.
Steaming.
Filthy. All right, it's time for whom the bell tolls. Quickly becoming one of the favourite segments of this podcast, where we put somebody or something under pressure from the rest of the world, world sport or AFL or out there outside the Geelong Cats universe. Zach, do you want to lead us off here?
Happy to. Touched on the Champions League final earlier on.
Yes.
So, biggest day in at least some of those guys. It will be the biggest day in their sporting life, okay? Probably the most devastating day in their sporting life as well. And they get marched up on stage past the trophy, shaking hands of all these corporate types to get a runners-up medal what is effectively a two-horse race.
Oh, no.
I mean, surely we're past, like, maybe under 10s and 12s. It's like a participation award. Would you want a runners-up medal for Lost Granny?
No, I agree. No. That's
and they
ridiculous.
All put it on and they take it off straight away and then they go off to the side and have a cry. I mean,
they
it's
they
like
actually
rubbing
get
salt
presented up on stage.
Past like, the trophy. You like have to walk past the trophy.
Grand
shaking,
final day, going up on the premiership dais to get a runners-up medal.
It was, I couldn't believe it.
Well, how did Lloris go striding up there?
Oh, could you imagine? Surely he climbed out of that hole he dug himself and had to...
That's poor. I can't think of any other major sport that does it. The AFL gave it away a long time ago.
Yeah, well, common sense should prevail. Like, who wants to do that?
No, good start.
Very good start.
So tell me, you've got something good for me, Scotty.
Well, Friday nights, I used to like getting on the couch, maybe drinking alcohol at some point, and turning on the TV, Zach, a bit of football. Well, no interest now.
Why not? Friday night footy. It's
whoever at the AFL.
Premier time slot of the AFL.
I'm not blaming Channel 7. I'm blaming the AFL because this is not that difficult. They say, oh, the draw's so hard. You know, you've got to have 6-day break. Well, that bit's hard. All you got to get is the good teams on Friday night. That's all you have to figure out. Carlton finished when you left. What, last year?
Thereabouts.
Why in God's name could you think it's a good idea to have them on 4 or 5 times?
It's a fair point. I mean, Carlton,
how are you trying to pretend it's interesting? It puts a lot of pressure on you.
It does, and this Friday night is Sydney versus Carlton at the SCG.
3-2.
And even St Kilda on Saturday nights too, which is the other prime time slot.
It's not that hard. It can't be that hard.
Well, there must be some weird algorithm that suggests that these 6-day breaks have to lead to these 7-day breaks because there could be no other reason for putting Carlton on that many Friday nights this year. In 2 years' time, when they're improving and they're growing and they've got the big supporter base going, no worries. Not this year. I'm with you, Scott.
What about the NRL floating fixture? I'm all for it, but clubs are up in arms because people set up their lives 8 months in advance.
No, I think the, floating in the NFL, after 10 games, the flex fixture comes into play.
Let's do it.
Why not?
If you're rubbish at the halfway mark of the AFL, you lose your Friday nights. See you later.
Bad luck.
Bad luck. You've been rubbish.
Would you be happy with that as a player if your schedule could be flexed?
I don't care.
You don't even know who you're playing next week.
No, but just not. Like, for me as a player, I don't really care when I play it, but it's not a bad idea for the TV. TV rights would love it, wouldn't they?
Oh, of course they would.
Who are you playing next week? Do you know?
We're playing the...
Hang on, it says
here. Belmont finishes. Gold Coast, by the way.
All right.
Just to make sure everyone knows you did know. Can I put Bernard under the pump?
Oh,
Bernard, Tommy, again, yes, exactly. Round one, French Open, got booted out by a bloke, Marco Trungoliti.
I don't think it's close.
It's not pronounced like that at all. Please don't hold me to that one. He had to drive about 1,000 k's to get there with his grandma overnight to play the game, and Bernard goes down 4 sets. I mean, that's for him. That's an actual fighting loss. And then his press conference afterwards. What did it total? 64?
64 words. So from 10, more than 10 questions. So it's, how do you think the game went? Yeah, no. And what's next? Yeah, no.
Dismiss it. I mean, okay, I get it. You're disappointed, you're not happy. You're not going to go and joke and have a laugh and everything like that. But there's fans of yours out there who want to hear from you and understand why, where can you improve? You've got Wimbledon coming up. Are you better on grass than you are on clay? Mm. Give them something. Let them hold on to something. We as Australians want to get behind some of our tennis players. We love our tennis as Australians. So just give us something, Bernard.
It's those like press conferences that do more damage than the losses. Yeah. Like nobody really cares about the losses, and it's just such a bad
attitude. But he'd won qualifying, so he'd actually showed a bit of G&D. Like we were a bit behind him.
Yes.
And then he was supposed to play Kyrgios. Kyrgios pulled out, and then it's like Bernie.
Come on, Bernie. Come on, Bernie. All right, let's get on to a more positive one. Before we go, before we finish up, Scotty, Hall of Fame week this week, where there'll be some inductees into the Hall of Fame. We hopefully...
some Geelong flavour, you think?
Let's hope, fingers crossed. But they're also going to elevate a legend of the game. And some of the names being thrown up, Wayne Carey, Gary Ablett Sr., Kevin Sheedy, Jason Dunstall. I mean, in my eyes, they're already all legends, those sorts of names, but not officially elevated. Who's your feel? Who will end up elevated to legend status?
I'm surprised Sheeds isn't already in, to be honest. I mean, when you think about what he's done for the game over a gazillion years, coach, player, I'm shocked, you know, promoter, all-round lunatic, which we love. I can't believe he's not already in. So, to me, like Gary Ablett Sr. obviously will. They got Carey should in some point soon, but if I'm a betting man, I'm a Sheeds for...
You're a Sheedy man.
I'm a Sheedy man.
Why not Dunstall? Second most goals of all time, isn't
it? Oh, no, I think he'll get there.
Did he beat Coventry in the end? I've gone blank.
No, I don't think so.
He didn't get to Coventry. Oh, I thought he
did. Zach would know that.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It's correct answer. Yeah.
So you're tipping Sheedy.
I'm a Sheeds. I'd get in Sheeds as but
I'm always going to be biased and push for Ablett Senior, but you might be right. It might go the way of the great Kevin Sheedy. Some good Aussie sporting news around the globe too during the week. Daniel Ricciardo winning at Monaco. Will Power, the first Aussie to win Indy 500. It's been a pretty good
Zach's
week for
a big
sporting.
Motorsport fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So pretty much right now, let's just get, before
let's get
we finish
what sports
up,
we can,
so
talk,
we,
about.
We can talk about football.
And golf.
You love golf?
Oh, you like golf. I love okay. golf. Oh, well, we might try and bring that to the table at some stage, because if it's not soccer or AFL,
British Open soon.
Feel like we don't get a lot off you.
Well, it's like...
Gridiron out, NBA out.
Yep.
Rugby league, rugby.
Yeah. Not really.
Your country's pretty good at rugby. No,
yeah. No, not for me.
Okay. So
tennis, cricket. He loves cricket. Remember, he's
loves cricket. So anyone listening out there who wants to send questions in, please, just to annoy the hell out of Zach, can you just pose questions to him based on all those sports that he hates?
I will. I'll study up and I'll come in next week with something for you.
A heap of research.
A new sport.
Beautiful. Right. All right. We'll be back again next week. Cats take on the Suns at Metricon Stadium. Gaz is returning to his other old club for the first time. And the first time the Suns are playing at Metricon this year after almost circumnavigating the globe in the first
Tom
10
Lynch
games.
Will be playing apparently. So, yeah, there'll be a bit going on up there.
Might get into his ear, see if we can get him to the Cats next year. Hope you've enjoyed listening. As always, we appreciate all your support. Please fire in questions, any feedback you have. We love the fact that you listen into us, and hopefully, Zach, have a win on the weekend. Good luck.
We'll try our best. Thank you.